Let's continue the topic we've been talking about last week about Gzela. Last week we discussed Gzela stealing as a prank, trying to trick someone, make fun of someone, stealing just to cause someone pain, tsar. So now we're going to continue along the lines of Gzela, but not a classic case of Gzela of stealing from a person, but borrowing something without permission. It's called Shoel Shalomidas, borrowing without asking permission from the guy, but your intent is clearly to return the item. Not to steal it, not to trick, not to just to use the item and to return it. So let's just start off with a few questions. Happens to be this past Shabbos, I was asked two questions on this topic. One person had asked me about using chargers in the shul. Sometimes you find chargers that are stuck in the plug. The guy left it there. Could I use his charger to plug in my phone in and charge it? That's one question. I added on top of that question, what about just using the shul's electricity? What about that aspect? There's a bill you have to pay, and maybe, I don't know, the pennies that adds up by charging my phone. But can you use the shul's, that's not borrowing, that's taking from the shul's pocket. Is that allowed? But that's not our focus. Our focus is the charger. Can you borrow the guy's charger, and it's left there in the outlet? Is that allowed? Secondly, Erev Shabbos, I walk into shul, and someone says, Rabbi, I have a question for you. The guy doesn't have a suit jacket on. So some people don't wear suit jackets. This guy wears a suit jacket. But he didn't have a suit jacket. He left his jacket at home. So now he wanted to know, Shabbos is about to start, and he says, can I borrow the 25 jackets that are in the coat room? Is that allowed? It's Mama Shoel Shalomidas. You should come to the shiur today. So we'll find out whether you could borrow the guy's jacket or not. And then a few other questions were just based on this program, Yerucha. They have a few interesting questions that come up, which you could probably see some type of scenario of this really happening. This first question is, someone was holding several bags of groceries while walking home from the store. Nowadays, this is very, very likely to happen when some of the bags tear, because now we have to reuse our own bags. My wife goes in the car with like 50 Gourmet Glatt bags, because you don't want to pay a few extra cents in Gourmet Glatt. So after maybe a few uses, it's going to start tearing. So now you're walking home, and then all your groceries just fall right through the bags. And you're walking down, I don't know, West Broadway, and you see one of your neighbors has a little wagon. You take the guy's wagon to fill up your groceries, your milk, and your apples, whatnot, and just bring it home. And then you return the wagon afterwards, but that's Shoel Shalomidas. Is that something that's considered, is that acceptable? Is that considered a gzela? Is that considered acceptable? Another case to think of, this is, again, I think something similar to the question about using the charger, using a USB. Some guy has a USB. The particular shaila was that he missed the shear. And his friend Reuven had the shear and a USB, but he wasn't around. So he wanted to know if he could borrow the USB and plug it into your computer and download it and give a guy put the USB back. Is that something that's allowed? And lastly, the last question I'll address, and then we'll go through the sources, is one that comes up quite often, is borrowing someone's sitter, borrowing someone's talis, someone's tefillin. That's another instance of Shoel Shalomidas, borrowing without permission. These are all five or six different cases, some that, again, came up this past Shabbos, some that come up frequently. What would halacha dictate? What would it say about these cases of Shoel Shalomidas? So let's go through the Marmar Kolmos. Number one, you should have in front of you, those on the computer, it's in the share screen here, as follows. The first halacha is found in Shulchan Aruch, in Nechoshe Mishpat Hilchas Gzela, Simin Shin Nuntes. The Mechaber just states very clearly, without going through the Mishnah Gemara, just the bottom line, Afilo halokeach b'she'ela shalomidas ha'ba'alim nikre gazon. If you take something, you borrow something, without his permission, that's called gzela. Now again, gzela is when I take something to keep it. And we spoke last week, taking something just to make the guy feel bad and make him feel like he lost something. You know, the guy goes to the bathroom, comes back, he can't find his phone, where to go. That's pranking someone, that's also a problem we spoke of last week. But this is you borrow it with no intent of tricking the guy, no intent of keeping it, just using it and to return. That is full-fledged gzela. That's a form of gzela.
Isn't the definition of gzela is that you're not going to give it back?
So this is an extension. Gzela could be using someone's property without permission. That's a definition. Gzela typically is what you said. Taking something to keep it. That's the classic definition. But just like anything else, we could have a definition that expands. So an expansion of this would be borrowing something without permission. Someone goes and takes your car for a spin and he fills up with gas and he puts it back. I don't think anyone would be happy with that, but I didn't take it to keep. I want to take for a nice spin around the block. And I filled up with all the gas that I took away. That would be a form of gzela. Same thing if I go into your house and, use your sink and I take some water from the tap. So I didn't take anything away from you. It was a tap water, but I violated your property of some sort. So these are different situations where it's not really stealing, but using something, borrowing something without permission, that's an extension of gzeila.
Maybe you can also say it's a little gzeila for that time period, for those 10, 15 minutes, but you took it. Maybe that's a partial gzeila bizman, maybe.
It could be gzeila bizman, a short, for those few minutes. Yeah, I took it from you for those few minutes. Yeah, in echanami. So there are different circumstances here. Let's go through number two now. Another extension of this is a little bit more lenient. Let's say a guy has some type of business. He rents things out. Let's say boats. He rents out boats. The boats aren't locked up. Kayaks, canoes, which are very easily accessible. I get to the docks and no one's there. So I say, I'll take the canoe. I'll take the kayak for a little bit of a ride and I'll bring it back in. But the guy always rents, but he wasn't around. So is that something I'm allowed to do? Is that considered shol midas? So if you look at Shulchan Aruch number 2 here, Choshe Mishpat Hilchas Gzela, Mechaber writes that HaTokef Tzfinasel Shechaveh, you take a guy's boat, V'asa B'mlacha, and you do mlacha with it, you take it for a little ride around the lake, around the river, and Im Eino Asul L'Sachar, if the guy doesn't rent it out, so then Shaman Kama Pichso Misham, you need to pay the damage. If you, caused a couple of scratches or dents in the canoe, you need to pay. Vim hi asuya l'schar, if let's say the guy normally rents out the canoes and the kayaks, im yarad la bataras tzchiris, if you wanted to rent it from the guy but he just wasn't around, hol the yarad shalobrisha, since you went without permission, so the owner has the right to either collect the schar, what he normally rents it for, or he has the right to the damage you caused the boat. Im rata baal litol schara, notel, rata litol pachsa, notel, you could take, the owner has the right. So these are situations whereby you're borrowing something without permission and you have the lower hand, where you have to pay the higher amount, whatever the owner wants. But there is an interesting din, which is going to answer one of the questions about the wagon case. The guy whose shopping bags broke and he couldn't schlep it to his house, he put it in the wagon, he borrowed from his neighbor and brought the wagon back. Is that something that's a violation of gzeila? So there's a very interesting din. If you look at number 3, Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Shin Ches, the Chaver writes, you take your friend's donkey, a wagon or something, without his permission. You had intent of paying the guy's schar. That's a type of gzela. Let's say it was a donkey that he usually rented out. Then lo have a gazan. That's not a gazan because he normally gives it out, so he shouldn't mind, and you're paying him the rent for it. Mihu, Micha Bo Bnebeso of Omim Shabal HaChamor Tarach LaChamor, if his family says, don't take the Chamor, we know normally he rents it out, but he needs it this week, don't take it, then that Shlomi Das is a Gazlan. But listen to this case. Vimlakha Lahatsi Shalom. Let's say you took the Chamor, the donkey, for yourself to save something of your own. We wrote to Litain al-Bal HaChamor Hefseda. And you wanted to pay the owner of the donkey the loss, Lahavi Gazlan, that's not a Gazlan. The Tanai Bezin, that's a Tanai Bezin. So let me explain a little bit of the background here. Yeshua ben Nun, we spoke last week when he came into Eretz Yisrael, so he made a number of takanas, like 10 different takanas he made, 10 different tanaim he made. And the din is that we have to, we said like last week, if a person, let's say, you have a big forest, and I'm allowed to take my goats and sheep around to go in the guy's backyard, because the guy's not makbir in a little blaze of grass. So there are 10 different tanaim Yeshua ben Nun made, that he had created when he took over Eretz Yisrael. One of the strange tanaim was that let's say a guy had a barrel of wine, and another guy had a barrel of honey. My barrel, the honey was considered more expensive than wine. Wine was very, very common. Let's say my barrel of honey cracked. The honey was dripping out. Yeshua ben Nun said, you're allowed to take the friend's barrel of wine, dump out the wine, and use that barrel to save your honey, because the honey is more expensive. That was a tanaim that Yeshua made. Now, I need to pay the money of the loss of the wine. I need to pay the $100 of the wine. I'm allowed to take his property to save my own property. That was a din Yeshua ben Nun said. So based on this, that's what Shulchan Aruch says here. If I'm using the guy's donkey, I'm using the guy's wagon to save my own property, that's allowed. That was a Tanai Bezin from Yeshua ben Nun. So this case, if I'm walking home, my bags rip, and all my apples, my milk, my cheese, my meat are on the floor. So Yeshua ben Nun made a din that I'm allowed to borrow my friend's donkey, my friend's wagon, whatever I need, to take my stuff home. That's a shol shel midas. That's not gzela. That would be an instance where you'd be allowed to do so as long as you return it back. And if any damage happens to the wagon, I need to pay the damage. But that's that's an instance where you would be allowed to actually borrow the guy's property. Yeah.
I would argue it's not the same case as the barrel of the honey, because the honey is dripping out and you're going to lose it. You can take your groceries, you can make a pile inside your friend's rishos, where the wagon is, and start walking back and forth. Go home, get better
bags,
and then collect
yourself. I think it's a very, very, very good good chilek. So I guess one could contend that it might be a loss of time and sorts, but I think it's a very, very good chilek. The way they present it here is they felt that it was no different. Maybe it's only an instance when you know everything would get lost. If by the time you get back, it's a 95-degree weather, your milk is going to go spoiled. Who knows? Maybe that's the case, but I would think you'd be allowed to in that situation. It would seem similar, and that's why they present it here, as one would be able to borrow the neighbor's wagon with the intent of returning. But I think it's a very fine chiluk nonetheless. Yeah.
Any difference if the neighbor is a Jew or a non-Jew that taken care of?
It's also a very, very good question. We haven't discussed the gezeilas akum or not. That we're going to discuss probably in a number of weeks from now. That case, from my own intuition, might be different if the neighbor, non-Jewish neighbor, sees you take the wagon. He might not understand, might be more of a chil Hashem. The Jewish neighbor wouldn't know either necessarily, but you could explain, maybe you need to be understanding. The non-Jew, I'm concerned more of a chil Hashem, even though probably halachically you'd be allowed to, but because of the misunderstanding, I would probably say not to. Okay, so now what happens in a situation, so that's an example where you're allowed to lechatchila borrow your neighbor's wagon. What if, a situation where you know that the owner of the object is not makbid? He's not makbid. It's a guy who's not makbid on his things. Would that be another instance where you can borrow shelo midas? Would we allow in such a case? So this is actually a machlokas in the Achronim, which would really answer most of the questions we started off with. If you take a look at number 4 in the Sma quotes from a Mordechai. It's a little bit unclear. The Mordechai is a bit ambiguous what he means. But the Mordechai writes, if you look at the Sma, Mordechai mashma de lo ayri el bedavar she'ein habalim makpidim al tashmishin belo rishushan ubekia gavna lo mikri gazim. If you look at the Mordechai, if the owner of the property, the owner of the jacket in the coat closet, the owner of the charger, the owner of the pen, all of that, the owner of the USB cable, if he's not makbid, says the Sma in his understanding, that's not a problem of gzela. You're allowed to do so. The Shach, however, says that the Mordechai, you misunderstood the Mordechai. In number 5, the Mordechai says, no, that's when you show, that's called shol, the only time you're allowed to borrow things is when shol midas, when you have the guy's intent, when you ask permission. But if it's shol midas, even if the guy doesn't care, the Shach thinks it's a violation of gezeilah. So what do you have? What happens? You know a guy, he doesn't know. You can't ask him. You see, look in the jacket. You see, this is a Weinberg jacket. I know Jeff won't care if I borrow it. I can't ask him. He's away for Shabbos. I know he doesn't care. He's not makbid. The Sma says, go ahead. That's not a problem. Says the Shach, no, that's a problem. Unless it's midas, you will not be able to borrow it. You have to ask permission for this. So the case of the jacket, was the guy able to take the jacket? With the case of the charger, can the guy take the charger? So how do we prosecute in this case? It happens all the time. If you know the guy, or if you don't even know the owner. Let's say you don't know the owner. There's a jacket in there, probably 25 jackets, there's no names on it. You have no idea who the owner is. Are you allowed to take it in that case? Borrow it to wear in shul and to put it back up?
So how does he compensate?
How does he compensate? Well, if there's a loss, you're saying. So that's
if he goes ahead and takes it, he's going to get it back anyway. So what's his punishment? Why is he Zelo, there's always something as a punishment. But if he takes something,
well, even
anyway.
Well, even if let's say there's no, the compensation will be me that I'm going to return it, I could still violate an Isser Gzela by stealing it. But if I steal your phone and return it, so I returned it, I fulfilled the compensation, but I still violated an Isser in doing so. So if I take the guy's jacket, even though I plan to put it back, I still violated an Isser perhaps. So what's the case? Yeah. Say it again.
The plug cannot even take electricity, or the meaning is the jacket.
Yeah, that's a very good question. That comes up in terms of Isser Gzela, how we figure that out. Why don't we apply that in this case of Zeneh Nevzeh Lachaser? I'm borrowing, the guy's not losing anything, why not? It's a good question. But sometimes when there might be a chashash of it being chaser. I mean, if I borrow the guy's jacket and get some herring on it after the kiddush...
Okay. Then eventually, in that case, then I'll pay the cleaners otherwise.
Right. If there's no, let's say, risk at all, so then...
I take the chance to use it. If eventually I damage, then I'll pay.
Right. But let's say, if you know the guy's makbid on it, so if the guy's makbid, then you have no right. Even though the guy is dead and it was a chaser, let's say, I'm makbid, don't use my phone. And no one else cares about people using phones. But I care. So even though I should let you use my phone, but once I said it's mine, you have no right to take it, even though it's Zenen Ev Zalachasar. So we're just trying to figure out, are people makbid or not makbid? So we're going to try to answer that question, depending, is it people makbid if you borrow my talis? I don't care if you borrow my talis, just fold it up the way it is. I don't care if you use my safer, just put it back where he found it.
It's a Dvar Mitzvah, it's a little
yeah,
different,
exactly. As opposed to no Dvar Mitzvah, just stam to use it. I would suggest that maybe using the jacket in shul, the guy might be very embarrassed to have no jacket. Some people don't care, some people do. So if the guy's makbid to wear a jacket for Shabbos, for davening, so maybe it's some level of a mitzvah of protecting his own pride, his own covered abrios maybe. So it's not just stop using it, but there's maybe some level of mitzvah even by the jacket case, I think.
Isn't there also an Indian that if you leave this stuff in a hefka place like in the shul? So this shtender is here, I know it. I know that people are going to use it because it's here. So it's a public place. It's saying even... I could put my towels and fill them back in my cubby, which sort of is more of a protected shovel place. And even then, if somebody needed it, they would take it, that would be fine. But if I'm leaving right on the table, right next to the stand, that somebody comes in, they don't have a towels to fill, they're going to use it. So I'll find it not wrapped the way I like. Too bad.
Right. I agree. I think that's a very important factor. I mean, if my towels and fill, which I put in the bag, even though I leave it over there, doesn't mean I want people to use it. If I put it in my cubby, that's a very different step taking it from my cubby. But I would even suggest, and we'll see some in the postgame, even if it's in my table, it's wrapped up, it's in a bag, but when your shtender's out there, where you leave your jacket in the coat closet with 25 jackets where anybody could take it, I think by definition you are showing you're a person who's not makbid. So let's just go through the how they answer in the sheets here, and then I think I'm going to come back and suggest exactly what Moshe Harari's saying, which is as follows. So the case of the USB, let's talk about that case first. So they quote here from the Sefer Minchas Pitim, that all opinions agree that it's permitted for a shoel, shlomidas, to borrow an item that's not used up if one knows the owner will be happy to lend it to him. Right? So let's say I see it says Weinberg's jacket in there. So he's not around. He's away for Shabbos. But I know he won't care if I borrow it. He'll be happy to let me have it. And I'm not going to use up the jacket. So that's certainly a case you're allowed to do. Now let's say I see a name that, I see, let's say, Blumenthal. I don't know if Blumenthal's going to be he might be makbid, maybe not, I don't know. So I'm not so sure about him. So then already that case, then maybe you shouldn't borrow. But I would add that if it's a situation, I think what Moshe said, that if it's in a place where people are not keeping it protected, like in the coat room, or a charger left in the outlet, to me that's your way of saying, I'm not makbid. And therefore, as long as you don't use up the item, it would be completely allowed. So I told this individual, Erev Shabbos, I said, I think you could take it. One is I don't think the guy's makbid, he left it there. He probably hasn't seen it in 20 years anyway. He's probably left it there 20 years ago, it's never been cleaned up. And secondly, I think there's a certain level of mitzvah here as well, which we haven't discussed yet, but he was been very uncomfortable to go into shul without a jacket on. So I think that was added a level for him to allow to use it. Same thing with the chargers. But as opposed, I'll just raise one more point. You know, Jeff asked me last week, what about a pen? I saw a pen left upstairs in the basement medrash. Now that gets used up already. So in terms of using it, that you're using the guy's object. Unless you know the guy doesn't care. The guy doesn't care about you using his pen. A few amounts of ink, that he's not makbid on, that would be allowed. But there's another element which we're not discussing now. I think it's still similar to this point here. Some people, if they leave a pen in the base mattress, they don't really care to reclaim it. They left a pen. They don't remember it was there. They left it there. So now you have to get, I don't want to get involved in this right now, but at what point does something become hefker? How do you say make something hefker? So typically, the way it works is something that you, if you left behind your pen, you wouldn't care. That's pretty a good indicator that anybody else who left their pen around wouldn't care. If I left around a safer, though, I'm makbid if I don't get my safer back, even though it's only 15, 20 bucks. It's nice. I wrote my safer, I had it, I don't have to go back to the store. That's not hefty, even though I left it in the base medrash. You have to figure out what people are makbid, what people are not makbid. So I think the case that Jeff raised last week, I think a pen, most people forget about it. They can't remember where they put it. And seemingly that would be hefker, and you would be allowed, even though you do use it up. So these are the different factors one has to keep in mind when shol shalom yidas. Yeah.
So I'm thinking about the charger. If people who come in the morning to daven, right, and charge their phone while they're davening, and then they run out. And I'm inclined to say that that person didn't want to leave the charger there. They ran out and they forgot. So now if that's a forgotten charger, and that person wishes they had their charger with them in the office or wherever, so now somebody else uses it, yeah, it's true that the person in all likelihood would not care that somebody's using the charger. I'm not pulling Yankee on the court. But I'm wondering if that's not a Hefker charger, because the person's going to come back from Mitchamar the next day, say, oh, here it is.
Yeah.
Take it and then take it.
I agree. I don't think it's Hefker. I think the guy wants it, but I also don't think the guy would care if you use it. Certainly nothing gets used up by it.
Right.
The guy doesn't feel like violated if he took my charger. Yeah. The guy takes my car if you're violated.
Yeah.
But the guy takes my charger, that much, I think most people wouldn't really care.
Does the charger get used up? Is there a point where it loses its...
No,
I'm saying, but you're not using up the guy. You're not
charging. Yeah, I don't think so.
Hurting its life up.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Would the jacket case be any different during the week? Because guys with jackets, it's usually for during the week they want to put a jacket. Shabbos, they don't really know how to take the jacket.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Right, because you think, a Shabbos, he's not going to need it.
Right.
During the week, if you come at 7 o'clock in the morning, maybe the guy whose jacket that is going to come a minute later and say, hey, where's my jacket?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I was thinking about that as well. I don't think during the week you would be allowed to do this. Because the guy's going to come in and say, who took my jacket? I don't understand. So I think it's a very good chiluk, yeah. Do we say it here in the shul we do that?
No, except the davening jackets. This last time around, the way the message went out, everything is going to be hefker except the davening jackets.
Okay. We should do davening jackets also. there are a lot in there. There are a ton of coats and jackets in there. What? No, I'm saying not to say you shouldn't leave one, but I think there should be a day, a week, take yours home for a week. Whatever's left for a week, let's kind of clear it out, and everyone bring their jacket the next weekend.
Right.
Now we got these nice chairs. You just put it over the chair.
Exactly, yeah.
No, then you take possession of the chair, which is not
okay. I think Shender's the same thing. If you're leaving a Shender out here, you know you're not always getting your seat, and someone else is going to sit here. And then they're going to use your shtender. I think it's by you leaving it in the public area, that's your way of not being makom. Especially if the shul's understanding here is that there's no makom kavua here. So then, most people have no makom kavua. So then the understanding is that wherever you sit, you could use that shtender. Okay. So let's go now to the next topic of a borrowing without permission for a mitzvah, which is a common case and... See what the Shulchan Aruch says. Now, this is an interesting case where Shulchan Aruch, I'm going to tell you right at the end now, where Shulchan Aruch says one thing, but Lamaisa, we're going to actually change almost everything that what the Shulchan Aruch initially says. So look at number 6 in Shulchan Aruch, Hilchas Tzitzis. Hilchas Tzitzis, the Mechaber writes, Mutter, litol talis chaveru, you could take, borrow your friend's talis, ulevarach alein, even to say a bracha on it. It's a question of saying a bracha on a borrowed talis, not for now. Ublevad sheyikapil also, as long as you fold it back the way it was. If it was found folded, you should return it folded. If it wasn't folded, return it the way it was initially. Ramah adds, "V'hu adin mitfilin." The same is true of tefillin. Aval also lilmod misvar mishal chaver b'lodaita. But you cannot learn from someone safer or someone sitter without his permission. The chashinon shema yikare osam b'limuda. Maybe by learning from it, you're going to rip it. Back then, svarim were very rare, perhaps very delicate. Happens to be, the set of shas that I have for my great-great-grandfather from the 1890s is actually the paper is much stronger and durable than our paper. It lasted through all the time. You feel it's very thick paper. But either way, whatever it's called. Okay, it's more durable. So, but nowadays, perhaps not as durable. But back then, if they tore a sitter, tore a safer, they were very expensive. So people were very, very mocked with it. They only had like one set of shas sometimes for an entire city. So you have to be very, very careful on how to use svarim back then. But talis and tefillin, not a problem. You could borrow the talis, you could borrow the tefillin without asking permission. So Mishabur adds in number 7 there, perish, shlomi daita, de nichale le inish de le aved be mitzvah be mamona dafka. Those who, if those learning daf yomi will appreciate this. We saw this recently in daf yomi about bedikas chametz. Let's say you bought a house, and the guy said it was checked for chametz. No problem. It was checked, no need to check it. Great, great deal. I come, and I see there's chametz all over the place. Is that a mekach talis? The contract said it was sold to me without any chametz, and you inspected it. Clearly, that wasn't true. The Gemara says, no. The guy actually, even in a place where you don't have to pay for a cleaning service, the guy is happy to do the mitzvah on his own. I'm happy to do bedikas chametz. He gave me another opportunity for a mitzvah. And even in a place where you have to pay for a cleaning service, the guy is happy to use money for a mitzvah. So thank you for the zechus. And now mekach does. I'm happy he didn't clean it. Now I get to do the mitzvah. Many of us probably wouldn't have such a perspective, but that's how the Gemara understood. People want to use their time, money, and effort for mitzvahs. So here's well, I'm very. You want to use my talis and tefillin? Because that's, hey, it's all yours. My money used for mitzvah, great. But that's only. So that's what I don't want to address it now. There's a big back and forth. But if a guy gives it to borrow, you'd be allowed to. Right. So the Shulchan Aruch says that you can. You're allowed to. But it's part of a different topic. I want to stay away from it right now. So the Mishnah Berurah says that's only true bakrai once in a while. But day in, day out, let's say the same guy comes, you know, comes to your makom, takes your talis and tefillin. Even when you're not using it, you're going to get annoyed at a certain point. The same guy for like a month straight taking your talis and tefillin. But Kviyas says the Mishnah Berurah Aser. And even in Bakrai, even if it just happens once in a blue moon, it's dafka ba'osa makum. It's only in your place. But to take your talis tefillin and bring it to the back of the base of Medrash, people start getting annoyed. Not that you're wrong for getting annoyed. We have certain akbadas. We're humans. We don't want our property being taken advantage of. So only use it in that place and once in a while. And avala hotzumi basil base knesses to take it out of your house to shul. He goes to your house and takes it to shul. Or ipcha, he takes it out of the building. Aser. The efshu the makbid alav, it's possible a person is very makbid on people using your property and taking it away. Have a gezel, that's real gzela. Now, the Mishnah Berurah points out something very important as well from the Prima Gadim. The Bechol Gavna, Roy Lizar, Kishabal of Imo, Shishalenu. If the guy is there, ask him, right? Don't take the talis in front of the guy's face and just say, oh, the halacha says I can borrow it. I don't need to ask you. Obviously, you have to ask the permission if he's there. If it's not there, that's when you could implore this idea of a shoel shalomidas b'makom mitzvah, one would be allowed to. But you can't rely on this chazaka b'makom where you're able to be mevar the truth. So now let me ask a question, not my question, but Moshe's question. So I'm very happy to have someone borrow my talis, my tefillin, they're getting a mitzvah. And even a lulav, there's a din. If a guy sees my lulav, he could shake it, he gets a mitzvah. But what if a woman wants to borrow my lulav? I'm not around. She wants to take my lulav and shake it. Is that allowed? Now, what's the difference? So I'm chayv and tefillin, you're chayv and tefillin. So you have an obligation, so I want to help fulfill your obligation. Women have no obligation to shake lulav. They have an option. If they want to, but they're not obligated to mitzvah saseh shezman grama. So would you extend this willingness of my mamon to be used for even women who are not obligated to mitzvah? I only want to give it to a man who's going to be fulfilling the mitzvah chiv deraisa. So Moshe is a very interesting tshuva, number 9.
Depends on what shul you ask the question.
Depends if there's a chiyuv or not. So Moshe writes as follows. Look at the paragraph of Mashinus topic. That which covered to Rasa that the shoel, that the questioner was asking, Be'isha shiptura mi'mitzas lulav, v'rotz l'kayim ha'mitzah, she's pater, but yet she wants to fulfill the mitzvah, which many are makbidah. In muteris nami lital lulav shel acha shelo midas, b'shayavim, can she, let's say she comes into shul, she sees a lulav and esrog, a dalminim lying on a table upstairs, and she says, let me just chop it. If I'm an Ashkenazi, I'll say a bracha, and if I'm Sephardi, I won't say a bracha. That's a machlokis, whether or not you say a bracha on a mitzvah aseh shezman grama. Sephardim do not say a bracha, and women don't. A mitzvah aseh shezman grama. So she takes a lulav and she shakes. She gets the mitzvah. Is that gzela? Because she doesn't have to do the mitzvah. Do lie. Maybe tam the rama in simin taf resh mem tes, demutu lito shlomidaito, Mishum denichale leinish lemeved mitzvah b'mamona rak leishem mechuyev mitzvah. Maybe the chazak that I want my money to be used for mitzvah is only when there's a chiv, like for me, it's a chiv of lulav aval leisha. Sheinu mechuyev, she's not obligated to the mitzvah. Maybe not. Maybe the chazaka doesn't apply to a situation where there's no chiv. Ramoshi writes and he brings an interesting proof. Nearly in his daiti shekaven shakopanim yeshla mitzvah. Since in the end of the day there's a mitzvah. Even though there's no chiyuv, but there certainly is a kiyum mitzvah for women in shaking lulav. Yesh la schayalzeh, and she gets reward for doing it. Maybe not as much reward as a mitzvah v'yoseh, but she still gets ke'ena mitzvah v'yoseh. It's still schar. Gam kein b'chazaka zu. The chazaka still stands. That nichale le'inish she'yavdu mitzvah b'mamona. I'm very happy that my property gets used for a mitzvah. Whether it's a talis, tefillin, or lulav, or sukkah, whatever else it might be. Tefillin, all this is allowed. Tefillin is a chiyuv, and we'll get to that in a halamaisa, but just this klal right now, anytime my property is used, I'm very, very happy and willing that people use my mitzvah. For a neighbor to come by, they see a sukkah, and they sit in my sukkah without permission, great, go for it, sit inside and get a mitzvah. I'm happy. And he brings a very interesting raya proof, hilchot tzitzis. Tzitzis, we just saw before, a guy's allowed to borrow a talis. Now, are you chayv to wear talis? Is it an obligation to wear talis every single day? Certainly not. Unless you're wearing dal kanfos, there's no chayv to wear tzitzis. And yet still, you're allowed to borrow someone else's talis, so we see a raya there that this klal, the chazak, applies even when there's no chayv. He writes this clearly. Mutalitol talis shel chaveiro ulevarech aleha nami mitam de nichale le'inish le'mevad mitzvah b'mamona. Even though wearing talis during tefillah, ain't no chiyav mamish af midrabban. There's not even a midrabban obligation. Ela sheminog tovu mikomakom kevin diakayim mitzvah balivisha. The chazaka denichle applies nonetheless, and therefore he concludes gam beisha af sheinu mechuyevus v'gam beminog lechayba me'achas shalkapanim yesh lakiyam mitzvah. There's a kiyam mitzvah. We can apply it to the same dinner club bechlal chazaka denichle inish. He brings one maraya. There's a din in the Mat Ephraim that you're allowed to borrow a friend's shofar and blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. You can blow all 100 mea kolos. Now, mea kolos is not a chiv deraisa. So maybe you should stop after you fulfill the obligation. The other 70 is just a minug, an important minug. It's brought down in the Gemara. But you see, even there you're allowed to as well. So these are instances you're allowed to borrow people's property for mitzvah, even if it's a not a mitzvah mechuyev. So that's what comes out straight from Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah. Now, this is where it gets interesting, is the shita of the Aruch HaShulchan. You jump down to number 12 now. Number 12, the Shulchan Aruch, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, if you read just the bold, we'll read the whole thing actually, Sif Yud Aleph. Kasva Tur V'Shulchan Aruch, Sif Dalet Demot, Elito Talas Chaveri, you could borrow your friend's talas, Elevar Yechaleh, Elevad, Shikapel, So Matzah Mekupelas. Fold it the way it was found. Mishum de have da badi nichale linish lemevet mitzvah v'mamona. V'ratzon bala talis b'kach. I want you to use my talis. I want you to use my property for a mitzvah. V'lo kapid, I'm not makbid on it. V'lachein idi adina and degavar kaptanahu also litol shlomidaita. If you know this particular guy, Reuven, is a very makbid on his talis. He likes his fresh new talis. Then don't touch his talis. But outside of that particular area, you could assume that everyone wants their property, their talis, their tefillin, their everything to be used for mitzvah. But then the Aruch HaShulchan pulls back and flips everything on his head. When we came out of the Shulchan Aruch, we said, you could use talis and tefillin, you could use lulav, but you cannot use a siddur. You cannot use a sefer. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, Lenias Daiti, Af Shirabosenu Paskwa Din Hazeh, even though the Shulchan Aruch and others paskin, Dibistama, a typical case, Motili Kach Talis Chaver, you could borrow your friend's talis, Shlomidaita, without asking him, Ulis Palabo Mitam Devade Nichale, he certainly is happy with you using his property. Mihu, nevertheless, Anan Chazin, and we see the Harbe Makpidin Bezem own. Many, many people in the Aruch HaShulchan's time was very makpid that people not use a talis. Ubefrat, in particular, Kishatalis Uchadash, Venaki, brand new, clean, crisp, white. Vagam Yish Bnei Adam Shein Sovlin, Klau, they can't be sovel. They can't handle shodim acha yubash beged shalahem, to use their talis to wrap themselves in their smell and their sweat. Mitam zeyav nikias. That guy's dirty. He doesn't shower. Whatever his maybe his deodorant, his cologne. I don't like the smell, his stench, or whatever it is. Neilin es daiti shemaod yesh lisyashiv badinde. We should be very, very. We should go back maybe and say that you can't just borrow a person's talis. Aruch HaShulchan is like early 1900s or so. Yeah, could be hygiene, could be. It depends. What we see from here, it changes. Change from time to time. So if we can ascertain that maybe now in our generation, things are different, the hygiene's better, maybe it should be change. Yeah, so again, it could depend on place, time, all these things would change. Our Chashochan felt. It's certainly true. It was funny this year, Yom Kippur. So we had to have a few extra shofar blowers. So all the new shofar blowers, myself included, didn't think ahead about getting the shofar for after Ne'ilah. So we had to all had to borrow Jeremy Fader's extra shofar. So people were not that makbid, at least this past year, for the Ne'ilah. But certainly this could have been a year where people were more makbid on things. But outside of this strange year, so it depends on who you are, depends on where you live, what time period, what place you live in. These things all do change. So it would be very subjective to the time, I believe. Nowadays, my sense, again, I could be wrong, I don't think people are so makbid on talis. I think maybe tefillin, maybe could be different. I'll just present to you what they write here in the sheets here. He says, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, the situation is exactly the opposite. Nowadays, farm printed nowadays are cheaper and do not tear as easily as in the past. So most people are not makbid on people borrowing svarim and sederim, unless it says inside, don't use. If it says don't use, then you certainly can't use. If it says only use in this makom, you can only use in the makom. That's he has the right to be makbid on his stuff. Then you should just stay away. Yeah. If you know the guy's a guy who's more makbid, then you should assume he'd be makbid and using the stuff. Yeah, I think so. But at the same time, I think, you know, I know Mati's not talking about himself, I don't think, but I know he leaves his arskol, not feel me around. So, yeah, I won't tell you where he hides it. But I would think that if it's left in the shul somewhere, I would imagine that, unless it's in the guy's cubby, I would imagine that it's for people to use. Right. Some people are happy that someone's, yeah, exactly. Mother just shows up on the nights, so you take a talk to someone. So now, even if it does tear, let's say the guy, you use the safer and it tears. So, nonetheless, it's very easily replaceable. Unless it's a rare safer, but it's easily replaceable. So if a guy tears a Gemara, you could go replace it. Now, you don't want that to happen, but you can easily find a replacement for it. On the other hand, many today are reluctant to allow others to borrow and use a talus. I'm not so sure about that. I don't know if that's the case. I think people are more, I think people let one use a talus, but maybe I'm wrong. It's much more expensive, though, and can tear easily. I don't agree with that, to be honest. I don't think the talus tears very easily. How many of you had a tear in a talus? I never had one. Anyone here?
Yeah.
Big hole? Okay, so. Okay, very good. Okay, so I don't know how common it is that a talus tears. It could be expensive to replace, but I don't think it tears so easily. But I could see tefillin, maybe people are more makbid on tefillin, they're more expensive, there you want a particular sofa. So it really depends. I know for me, anyone wants to borrow my talus and tefillin, it's all yours. Take it. I'm happy to have you use my tefillin. I don't know where you guys stand on it, but I don't know how makbid people are nowadays, even though the Aruch HaShulchan says this. That's just my... Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I was taught as a
kid,
Mom and
Hektish. Yeah, so we're not going to talk about Mom and Hektish, about the shul's bills and money, but that certainly is a very, very serious thing. But you're not the one turning on the heat or turning the lights. The administration is. They have the right to make those decisions. Now, are the decisions right? Not for me to say. But yeah, whoever leaves a classroom should certainly turn off whatever they can. That's no question.
Right.
Now, yeah.
Let's say the shul leaves it all on in Mati's vein, and then you say, well, we need to raise funds because our electricity bill is so high, so that's not okay. Let's say, I'm making something up.
Right, it's not for now, this topic, but I'll just say, anyone who pays membership could use the facilities, the lights, the heat, whatever is considered reasonable. If it's reasonable, you could certainly use it. That's part of the membership. Once it's unreasonable, once it's reckless, if you're leaving at 10 o'clock at night, leaving the light on, to me that would be, not reckless, but that would be inappropriate. You should save the money of the shul, just like you want to save the money in your house.
To me, it's on the shul administration.
Oh, so that's a different thing. They have the right, administration has the right. Whether they're doing the right thing or not, that's for you to take up. But they certainly have been appointed and have the right to manage however they want to. Whether they're doing the right thing or not, that's for each person to take up with them. Okay, we'll stop here. I mean, Mr. Shem, we can have next week. It's Hanukkah. Are people around? Yeah, okay. Well, here we go. So at least Jeff.